Attention, attention, attention. We're ready to start our devotional. Zip, zip, zip your lip. Okay? Right. That's Dan's line. That's not my line. Brother John Morris has consented to lead us in a couple of songs, and then Bob's going to have a few words, and then we'll have another song, and then I'll finish up. John.
410. 410. Six hundred forty-seven. Forget these things. Might tell you just a little story. I was in the hospital back about 3 years ago, and I had a bleeding in my internal organs called AV. It's arterial venous malformation. And so I was real short on blood. It took me to the emergency room. I had a nurse there by the name of Julie Andrews. And so I was Bob Barker, she was Julie Andrews, and it was the time when Bob was having a little difficulty with his help, the girls and so forth. There was something came out about it, and Julie had more or less exposed herself immodestly. And I says to her, "We're in trouble, aren't we?" Wonder how many here sat under the tutorage of E.M. Zur. Desper, at one, two, three in the back. That's four, and I'm another. How about Brother Bumback? Three, four. We lived in Martinsville at the time that Brother Brumback happened to be there. Well, we happened to have a little problem in our family. We started searching to find out the answer to, and wanted to find out biblically what this girl's position was or what condition she was in. I had been invited by Brother Chick Powell to come to church, but I hadn't ever gone. So we went down to the church this night. Brother Brimback happened to be there, and he was teaching church history, and we attended every night of the lessons, and at the end we obeyed the gospel, my wife and I. And so, Rick, I suppose that was a providential thing.
I believe it was.
Thank you very much. So since that time, we've been members of the body of Christ and working for God. At this time, let's turn our books to number 3. This is in conjunction with the theme of your work this week. And by the way, we want to thank everybody for your hospitality, especially Dwayne and Janice for the home they provided for us while we were here. Their hospitality was magnificent.
Together praise Him, sun and moon and stars.
886.
I'm sure that all of you agree that the Church of Christ has long boasted that they were following in the old paths and trying to reproduce the church as it was in the first century, because people who were saved by doing what the apostles said, and if we do exactly the same thing, we have no fear of not being saved. This morning I want to review with you a few characteristics of the church in the early century. They were a learning church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They learned something every day. And you have to remember that the apostles were the only ones that had the word, therefore they listened to the apostles. We today don't have any new revelations. We have the same ones that they had, and we must be learning. As a matter of fact, I believe that if you go through a day and don't learn something, you've wasted the day. It was a church of fellowship. They believed in the great quality of togetherness. Nothing makes you more miserable than to be in a crowd where everybody else is hugging one another and you don't get hugged. Or where everybody else is chatting with everybody else but you. Admiral Nelson said, "I had the happiness to command a band of brothers." The church is only a real church when it's a band of brothers. It was a praying church. The early Christians knew they couldn't face life by themselves and be successful. They knew that they needed to pray. And so, as the saying goes, they always spoke to God before they spoke to others. It would do well if we would do the same. When we are approaching someone for their soul's sake, it would do well for our knees to be sore before we ever start to speak. I believe the early church did that. They were a praying church. It was a reverent church. You remember in the book of Acts it said, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." The great Greeks moved through the world as if it were a temple. For a Christian, we move through the world in reverence and godly fear. For in Him we live and move and have our being. It was a church where things happened. Signs and wonders were done by the apostles. We don't have any apostles with us. But that doesn't mean that there can't be signs and wonders done by the church today. It says, "When they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. It was where things happened. You know, we expect great things from God, and sometimes we attempt great things for God. If we do both of those, things will happen. I had a woman tell me just last week, or week before last, I guess it was. I've been here all last week. But the week before that, she said that she went to a church because things were happening. And I said, what's happening? Well, they're growing. They now have 800 members in their congregation. Do you think that'd be possible for you to do? Maybe if we had the zip that they have, we could. We don't seem to be daring enough to take different approaches. If we just believed God and believed that we could, we could. You know the little train that said, I can, I think I can, I think I can, I know I can. It was a sharing church. All who believed had all things in common. Neither was there among them any that lacked. Neither said that aught of the things which they possessed were their own. You know, we're kind of childish in this respect, aren't we? If God has given us something great, has blessed us abundantly, then we tend to hang on to it, and I don't know why. One man gave all that he had. He sold all that he had in order to share with his brothers. That's what I call Christian love. It was a worshiping church. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, and they never forgot to come to God's house. Paul said, don't you forget it either, like some people do. Never forsake the assembling of yourselves together, the manner of some is. Why? Because the day is approaching, and we don't know when it will come, do we? Upon the first day of the week, it says in Acts 20, the disciples came together. What for? Why did they come together? They came together to break bread. That's one of these items of worship that you don't do by yourself. If you couldn't do it by yourself, Paul would have never written in the Corinthian letter to wait for the person who couldn't get there on time. If the time was 10 o'clock and you knew they were coming, you tarry for them. Then you can observe the whole body of Christ in this area. Or you can observe the body of Christ in the emblems, either one. We ought to be able to observe both as we partake of the Lord's Supper. It was a happy church. I'm always saddened when I see somebody that has such a long face and that their face would crack if they smiled. I'm wondering what's bothering them. They were a happy church. You know, gloominess and Christianity are just a contradiction of terms, aren't they? You can't be gloomy all the time and be Christian. Neither should you be happy, happy, ha ha all the time and think that's the mark of a Christian. But they were happy enough that people wanted to join them. Can you imagine that? And it was because they were happy. And the last one was probably the most important one. It was a church full of people whom others couldn't help but like. David said in Proverbs, or Solomon, that even your enemies like you if you're doing well, good. If you're doing well, even your enemies like you. There are two Greek words for good. Pathos, which describes a thing as good, and kalos, a thing that's not only good, but looks good, even Spanish. If you make it look good, it'll be palatable. You can take it on. It may be ugly as sin when you look at it. One time we were in a Bible study, and a lady brought a pudding for us to share. And bless her heart, she went to a lot of work. And I was joking with the lady that I was washing dishes with. And I said, "Do you know what kind of pudding that is?" "No, what kind is it?" I said, "It's shut-eye pudding. You can't stand to eat it if you shut your eyes, well, it's good." I think sometimes that's the way the church is. We're a shut-eye pudding. We have to be seen, and we have to be liked before people will listen. Someone said that what would help the church most, if every member would ever here and again do a bonnie thing, seek to gain the favor of all people. Do you know people that every time they hear somebody is sick, they go visit them? They find out that somebody is upset, they go visit them. Maybe they take them a little piece of candy. Maybe they take them a little trinket. Maybe they just show love. But the point is, we should make an effort to make people like us. The early church did the things that won people's favor and honor. They couldn't help liking them because they perceived that they had been with Jesus. When they look at you as a member of the church, do they perceive that you have walked with Jesus? When they look at you as a whole body of Christ, do they perceive that you have walked with Jesus? It's easy to do, isn't it? I think if we adopted some of these things that I've suggested, that would be much more attractive to the world. And after all, there are always people who have not committed themselves to Christ. And we feel for them, but do they know it? That's the problem, isn't it? Let's let them know it. Let's dare to do some bonnie thing, meaning something that's fun as a Christian, something that's daring because you're pushing forth the line. If we claim to be duplicating the early church, we've got a lot of work to do before we are like the early church, in my opinion. We wouldn't probably be sitting here, you'd be sitting here and listening to me if we were in the early church. I wouldn't be dominating the time. We'd have interruptions like we do with Charles in his class and Danny in his class. Everybody had something to offer and everybody offered it. And we call it mutual edification. If you're here this morning and you're outside the church, don't brand the church by some members. Those with long faces like a horse, just find one that has a smile that wide when he comes. He's happy to be here. He's happy to share in God's word. I want to review one verse in the book of Ezra, which I think sums this up. Ezra had prepared his heart, meaning his mind, to seek the law of the Lord. That's the first thing that we have to do. Secondly, he had prepared his mind to do it. You've heard the little poem, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." We do preach a sermon by the way we act. And Ezra made up his mind that he was the first going to find what the Lord wanted, and then he was going to do it. And then he could just stop. No. And to teach Israel statutes and judgments. Ezra was concerned that all the people know. So today we invite you, if you are outside the body of Christ, to come forward while John leads us in an invitation song. Shall we stand, please?
904.
Okay.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless by the white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Let us bow. Our Father in heaven and our God, Father, we thank you for another beautiful day on this earth. And Father, we thank you for this group that meets together to so that we might edify and uplift one another, Father, and especially praise your name. Help us, Father, as we go through this life to always keep Jesus in our sights, Father, because what else is there in this world? Everything is passing away. Everything will be gone someday, Father, but only your name, and that's what we're looking for, Father. So help us as we go through these studies and these lessons, and as we think about you, Father, help it to strengthen us so that we might truly live for you. Forgive us of our sins, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.